This is a podcast for the MA in Online Journalism by Distance Learning at Birmingham City University.
In this second podcast about mobile journalism, I want to talk more specifically about the technical side of mobile journalism and live blogging, looking at the hardware, the software, and some of the kit and the mindset that that help you do mobile journalism and live rolling reporting. And I'll start with the hardware. And some of these will be pretty straightforward and pretty obvious. It's you know, I don't think any journalist these days can do their job without, for example, a good phone, a good smartphone. iPhones are obviously particularly popular, but it doesn't have to be an iPhone. It can be anything that's relatively powerful. Some of the Android phones, even BlackBerries and so on, and even old Nokias now, and the N95, N96, N97 range, are all perfectly powerful options. The key thing is that you have that power, and also that your phone contract allows you to use a decent amount of data, because as soon as you start doing things like streaming video or uploading audio from your phone, you're going to be using a reasonable amount of data, and so you need a good deal. And make sure that you compare the different packages of different mobile phone providers. Related to that, you might want a MiFi unit, which is basically a phone that doesn't have a phone. In other words, it's a SIM card inside a kind of a tablet about the size of a small phone, which broadcasts a Wi-Fi signal. It's got a 3G card inside, so it broadcasts a Wi-Fi signal, and you can use that with phones, laptops, tablets, any number of different Wi-Fi connected devices. This is an option, particularly if you're tied into a long-term contract which has a poor data plan. You might want to consider using a MiFi unit in addition to that. So we've got the smartphone, we've got the MiFi unit. Another piece of kit you want to look at is something, one of the small digital camcorders. The most well-known are the Flip cameras, but also Kodak do a particularly good range of camcorders. The ZI-8 is a personal favourite because it has an external mic socket, but there are also Samsung ones and various other versions, which all of which cost between £80 and £150. One of the things to look out for with these, if you're looking to buy one, is whether they have got HD. And this is something you really want to avoid from a web publishing perspective, because HD video will take up a lot of file space and it will take a long time to upload to the internet. For example, the Flip HD only films in HD, and so if you film something with the Flip HD, it will probably take you a day overnight to upload any video that you film of any kind of considerable length. So avoid HD filming, because chances are, in fact in most cases, you're not going to need HD quality film. Unless you're filming for broadcast, it's not going to make much difference on a platform like YouTube, for example. So look at the digital camcorders, primarily because if you're using your phone to film video, it will use up your battery very quickly, and it also means that you're not able to do other things. Having a separate digital camcorder means that you can film an event or film interviews without eating into your battery, and also be able to be monitoring coverage on Twitter and so on at the same time. Likewise, you should probably look at a digital dictaphone or an MP3 recording tool like a Zoom recorder or an Edirol. These allow you to record high quality audio, and this can be really very useful. It's particularly as a backup plan when video isn't appropriate, or you just haven't got the battery power to record video. And they also allow you to publish very quickly, because the files that are produced are quite often very small. Again, these cost from about £80 to £150. The Olympus digital dictaphone actually separates into two pieces, one of which is a USB stick, so it's very easy to transfer files to your computer. The Zoom MP3 recorders are very useful because they have a number of different settings in terms of the direction that you record. So you can record in all directions, or you can record in just one direction depending on what it is that you want to record. Also particularly important is some sort of portable microphone if you have a camcorder or a dictaphone with an external mic socket. Quite often, if you're interviewing someone, you want to just have the sound of their voice and not the surrounding environment. And chances are, if you're at some sort of an event, then the surrounding environment will be noisy. If you can't do this, you need to identify quiet places where you will be able to interview someone, and you'll have to ask them if they will go to that place to conduct the interview. You can also get spoffles or wind guards, which prevent wind sound. And you want to look at tripods as well. The GorillaPod, which is also around £20, is a flexible small tripod which actually allows you to wrap it around lampposts or other objects. So it's quite flexible in terms of allowing you to film from different angles. The one downside is that it's very small. So if you're shooting anything that's kind of higher than shoulder height, then you might need a larger tripod if you want to keep a steady shot. And the other option in terms of kit is a Bluetooth keyboard. This is a keyboard which connects to your phone and allows you to type longer passages more easily than you can with a phone keyboard. So that's the kind of hardware. In addition, you're going to want extra batteries, because your phone is going to eat up a lot of battery power, particularly if you've got a touchscreen phone. You're going to probably want some extra SIM cards just in case your particular network doesn't have good coverage in that particular area. You can also sometimes get specialist SIM cards. There's a thing called an iFi card, which basically has a Wi-Fi chip in it, which allows you to upload... this isn't a SIM card, sorry, this is a memory card that you put into a camera. It means when you take photos, it will be automatically uploaded from your camera to the internet. You will probably want to make sure that your phone has a decent amount of memory free, because if you are streaming video, it will need free memory to kind of hold that video as it's streaming. And if your phone is absolutely full of photos and music, then it won't be able to do that and it will probably crash. And you may want some extra memory cards for your phone, SD cards, so you've got extra storage where you need it. If you're covering any sort of conference, having an extension lead can come in very useful. And if you've got extra plug sockets in that lead, it will also make you friends with other journalists, because the power sockets are always in short supply. And in fact, you should probably arrive early to make sure that you secure some of the few power sockets. And also, obviously, remember to take your mobile phone chargers. Likewise, you can get solar chargers for your mobile phone, and you can get things like power gorillas, which are basically like reserve batteries to charge your phone when it's running low on power. So that's some of the power dealt with. Now we need to move on to the websites and the web services. We've covered Posterous and Tumblr in previous weeks as good platforms to publish from a mobile phone. These allow you to send content to an email, which is automatically published, and it can also automatically update Twitter and other social networks. Related to that, you might want to use services such as Pixelpipe and Ping to make sure that when you do upload media from your phone to a service like Flickr or YouTube, that all your other platforms are updated at the same time. So an update is made on Twitter and Facebook and so on. If you're live blogging, you might want to consider a tool like Cover It Live. Cover It Live allows you to basically cover an event and aggregate your coverage in a single place. So you can still use Twitter to publish your updates, but set up Cover It Live to pull in your tweets into a single place where people can comment and vote and do various other things. You can also set it up to pull in any tweets with a particular hashtag, for example, or tweets from a particular circle of users. So it's very flexible in aggregating all sorts of material. And you can also live blog straight into the Cover It Live system. Cover It Live will give you some HTML, which will allow you to embed the live blog on your own website, or it will also allow anyone else to do the same if you want them to. However, you may have difficulty embedding it on platforms like WordPress.com, where the ability to use embed HTML is restricted. Related to that, there are live streaming services. Bambuser, Ustream and Quick are particularly well known for video streaming. And again, you can set these up to automatically update Twitter when you start streaming. There are a couple specific to Twitter, like TwitCam and TwitCaster, which do similar things but also allow you to see your tweets at the same time. And TwitVid is another one. And then there are photo sharing websites that can connect to Twitter, like TwitPic, Plixi, Flickr, Lockers, and so on. The one thing to be careful about with these image sharing websites is the terms and conditions. Plixi, for example, reserves the right to license your images. So if you are covering a particularly newsworthy event and you feel that your images may have some commercial value, you need to be aware that Plixi and TwitPic, for example, may beat you to that. And we've covered AudioBoo for audio. What's important about AudioBoo is that it will also allow you to geotag your audio, which means that it adds geographical information and you can see other people that are using AudioBoo in the same location and place those AudioBoos on a map. This geolocation is becoming increasingly important. If you're using Twitter, you can add geographical metadata as well, which again is it includes extra data about where you're tweeting from and allows people to place that on a map. Related to this, you might want to look at Google Maps and using Google Maps to report an event, particularly if it takes place over a geographical area. But for all this talk of software and hardware and power leads, I think what's probably the most important thing about mobile journalism is what's inside your head, really. It's about a mindset. It's about being able to spot an opportunity to live blog, and it's about understanding what information is needed at any particular time around that event. It's about embedding things in your blog, for example, so that you're ready and waiting when that event starts. It's about being always on, really, and being able to catch moments and spot moments in the same way that a journalist traditionally has had to be able to spot a lead and spot a story where other people couldn't. Being able to spot interesting stuff around you and tweet about that or take a photo, do an audio interview, do a live video stream. These are really important skills with mobile journalism. And that's really what I want you to do with mobile journalism. It's not necessarily to start out by going to a big event, but just be walking around with your mobile phone on the lookout for interesting things, interesting opportunities that you might want to share. Beyond that, you do then want to plan to cover a live event. This is also a particularly useful content strategy for your blog or your website project, because it's a good way of making people aware of what you're doing and people in your particular field. Because if people go to an event or they can't make it to an event, they're going to search for information on that. And if you're there providing that information, then that's quite often going to be the first time that they encounter you.